is a part of the Morehead Oral History Project. The purpose of the interview is to gather information about the challenges of homemaking in the city of Morehead during the 45 years between 1930 and 1975. Alice Murray, homemaker, is being interviewed by Elsie Lee. The date is April 9, 1985, and the interview is being taped in the living room of Alice Murray's home at 311 North 10th Street in Morehead. Alice, lots of people are interested in finding out what homemaking was like between 1930 and 1975 in the city of Morehead. I believe you were a homemaker in our city for all those 45 years. Didn't you just have a birthday lately?
I just celebrated my birthday last Thursday.
And how old, do you mind if I ask how old you were?
No, I was 87, or I'm 87 now.
So now we wanted to start with our history in 1930. That means you would have been 32.
32 years old.
Years old mm-hmm. in 1930. Now, where was your home located in Morehead?
920 4th Avenue South.
920 4th Avenue. And who lived in your home with you?
Well, we bought the home when we were married in 1920. And our two girls were born there.
Uh-huh. So your husband lived there with your two girls?
Yes.
And you?
Yes.
Did you have any hired help or?
No. Just worked along building up the and changing the house inside and outside the way we wanted it, and the lawn, and which was one of my lawn and flowers. That was my passion, lawn and flowers in the garden. That I liked to do.
Did you have any, you didn't have any parents living with you?
No, no. They lived in Morehead also, but they had their own home.
At that time, when the girls were small, you were a full-time homemaker. You didn't work outside the home.
No.
In 1930.
No.
But
yeah,
but in you did go to work
in
later.
In 31, my husband decided to start his own business, and then I became a full-time bookkeeper. Besides a homemaker and a gardener.
So you're a full-time bookkeeper and a homemaker besides. You were an early, you were early in your both working outside the home and inside the home, weren't
well,
you?
Well, yes, of course. I always liked sewing and it came naturally for me because my mother was a dressmaker.
Huh?
And I learned a lot of it, so I began sewing my own clothes when I was 12 years old.
Talk about what an ordinary day was like, starting with a day of the week instead of Sunday. So. What did you do on a Monday, for instance,
well,
in your home?
Well, one day was about the same as any other, except different times of the year. Usually, people wash clothes on Monday. I began to wash clothes whenever I had the opportunity, because Monday mornings always started about 5 o'clock if in the summertime. I used to love to work in the garden for a couple of hours. By that time, Jay, my husband, would go to the wholesale house to get his material and stuff for the day. And then I'd meet him in the office at home. We built an office in connection. They're going on. And then I was in the office to give the orders to the men, and Jay took his work and the men took theirs. Then I could get the girls off to school, and the rest of the day was whatever work I had to do outside or inside, except for the dinners and suppers.
It sounds as if you had a busy time with both.
Yes, but it was all very interesting because, of course, when the girls started school, there was also a lot of church work connected with their bringing up, and they went through all the phases of Sunday school. And
I was going to ask you how Sunday was different. So,
I usually fixed all my meal before and put it in an electric bakery then that I had been given, and because Jay always had some work to do in the church, and I had to attend to the choir, and my two little girls were in the choir, so we always had to be to church early.
So, what did you do with the choir? Did you?
I used to see that they all had their cottas on and all ready to march up when the choir marched up before the ministry, you know.
And you made a big dinner on Sunday.
I always put a dinner in my big roaster. It would be ready when we come home.
Did you often have company on Sunday, or?
Oh, yes, we had, there were a couple of couples that the bunch of us were just like today. My children have their couples that get together. Well, we had the same, and there's still one girl left of the couples that we had together. She lives over in the high rise.
You mentioned church, so we know you belong to a church and had that all the church activities to attend. Did you belong to any other groups beside the church?
Yes, all the time we were in business, I belonged to the Business Women's Club. And of course, when he retired, then that retired my membership too.
Did you belong to any study club or any other organization beside the Business Women's Club in your church?
No, only I worked during World War II. My husband and I both worked on committees. For the war.
Oh yes, mm-hmm. For the Red Cross and such. Or
well, I did. No.
The war effort, I guess.
No, we were on the food stamp committee.
Oh.
And I was on the food stamp committee, and Jay was on the fuel oil committee, and then every several nights at a time we'd be doing the bookkeeping with the cards and all that.
Huh. I can kind of remember working too on those, some of those committees.
Yes.
For rationing.
Food
rationing, was
that it? That was the thing I felt saddest about, because there were so many that didn't know what it was all about. And we always had our meetings in the gym. Of the high school, and anybody that didn't know what to do about food stamps, they'd say, "You see that lady sitting in at that table at the other end there? You go down and talk to her, and she'll put you right on it." And I'd have to explain to them how much they could have, how much they could go on, and were afraid to even buy things. And I said, well, I said, before this food rationing came, I told them, we always bought from a friend of ours in Farmer that had a little grocery store, 100-pound sack of flour and 100-pound sack of sugar and other things like that, and canned goods. And they said, what did you do? Well, I said, I divided the pounds by 12. That gave me so much a month. Then I said, I divided it by weeks, and that gave me so much a week to work on. And I said, if you do that, if you have something, don't worry about it. Just figure it out that way. And I said, make up your mind, that's what you'll get along on. And it was the same way with butter was rationed, everything else. You had to figure it out that way.
Now, your work with these committees, with war committees, really wasn't too enjoyable. I mean, that's kind of work. Did you have anything to, and with all your work in the home and your work as a bookkeeper, I know you were very busy. Did you have any time for yourself or time to have fun?
Oh, yes. We always said that. Usually after church, the couples, it might be just the one couple, just the two of us, you know, but no matter what time of day, afternoon or evening, we get together. And we always had fun that way. And of course, we always liked nice weather. We'd take trips on Sunday afternoon, go someplace for a ride, just see something new, just for the youngsters to get out. And because there never was much going on Sundays in those days, not until the baseball season started.
Oh, yes. And then I imagine that was something that interested your...
Oh, yes. I was always liked athletics from the time I was in school in fourth grade and learned how to run races. From then on, I liked all kinds of sports. And I tried to get my daughters interested, but they were more interested in music, and they became musicians in the band and orchestra and choir and things like that.
So there were some musical events in your family, evidently, with the choir and them active in band and all of that. With the two daughters, were you a bluebird leader, or were they in scouts?
No, they were mostly with the choir in high school, and then in the church, you see. Margaret Newton had her famous choir that we used to make quite fancy outfits for. I donated my daughter's outfit to the choir because it was quite unusual. I had it. Of course, that's part of my work that I do, making everything.
And you sewed it all yourself then?
Oh, yes. Well, it was just one of those things that was different for the times, you know. It was all fluffed out, just like candle wicking is today.
Oh.
And it's everything stood out. But it was all a lot of fun. It even took us up to Winnipeg with the choir, and for Queen Elizabeth's first trip to Canada.
Oh.
And of course, the orchestra. My oldest daughter was in the orchestra then. That was Audrey.
I think many people envy the students at the time when Margaret Newton worked with the music, don't they?
Oh, yes, yes, I should say. She had the madrigal singers.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any hobbies of your own? You mentioned the sewing, so you did a lot of that.
Oh, yes. Well, I always used to love to draw, even in high school when I took biology. I liked to draw insects as much as I did flowers, because it was a challenge.
Uh-huh.
And of course, that went on, and after I was married, I began to make a lot of my own designs and create things myself.
So didn't you go into painting?
Oh yes, I've done a lot of oil painting. Things here that I have, those are all oil paints. Those are flowers that I grow in my garden at the lake.
Did you take lessons?
No. No, I just...
Just did it all on your own?
I just got into it, and I liked it so much that... And that one over there, that's a lily hanging on the wall. That's from... I grew that. It was a lily that was in my garden. And I thought it was too beautiful to leave it, so I cut it, and then I thought I'd draw it. And I always draw all my own designs for whatever I make.
Well, we've been kind of talking about things that we do for our own entertainment or for enjoyment. Now let's go back to talking about work again, but work in the home, like I suppose you prepared 3 meals a day?
Oh, yes.
Or did the girls come home for lunch? Or did they eat
yes,
at school?
Oh, yes, because we only lived a block from school.
So they did come home for...
So they were always home for school.
So, and now you've already mentioned that you bought flour in 100-pound sacks?
Yes.
And
we used to... I used to... of course, I loved to can, too. I still do. I can down at the lake.
And you always had a garden?
I always loved a garden. I had a large backyard, and Jay had built a fireplace back there so that, because he used to like to have rotary once in a while, would come over there and have steak fries. And they enjoyed that. But that was right in my garden. And I had my garden all plotted in squares, and everything was different. Like I had one big place that was 18 different kinds of roses from all over. I even had, and on my long east bed, I had tree roses. You see those now, but you never used to see them. I sent for them, and when I made a trip, this course now goes to in the 70s, but I made a trip to England, then I really saw the tree roses.
Oh.
That's of course where they came from.
Uh-huh. I understand that they do have them there, and that I've seen pictures of them so trimmed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 3 of them. That's all we could have in the long east bed, and Jay had built a fountain in the corner, like in the corner of the lot back in the back, and I had a pool, and he had built it up and had piping behind it so the water would trickle down over the plants into the pool, and then he had a bridge built across that went across the pool, and I had little lights in there, and we turned that on at night, and more people would be going by on 10th Street, which is the next street past my house, and they'd come and ask if they could walk out and back and see what was like out there.
Did you ever go to eat at the restaurant?
Restaurants?
Uh-huh. You
oh,
talked
yes.
about canning your food and going to the grocery store, but did you ever go out to eat?
Oh, yes. We went out quite regularly.
Oh.
We used to go to the Silver Moon until he moved to Fargo, Then we used to go to dinners over there once in a while. That was
I remember the Silver Moon. Seems like a long time ago.
Well, yes, it was. But that was, that was after we were married, of course.
Uh-huh.
And
you talked about canning. Did you have a refrigerator back in those days?
No. Well, it was. They were large ice cream, or they were large ice boxes to begin with. Then when the first refrigerator, when they first started colored bathroom fixtures, we got the first colored bathroom fixture, and of course that was on display because we matched. I had tiles so far up in the bathroom, and then every once in a while there'd be a hand painted tile, and then bathtub with the first sliding glass doors for it. But the wholesale house wanted us to try a combination washer and dryer, dishwasher and dryer. And of course that was in his business, you see, so that was nice. But I had an extra refrigerator in the basement. And then some friends of mine would come over, and I had an extra stove down in the basement, and we'd can down there.
It was handy to have a husband who was a plumber, and
that's right. So we'd get a lot of that stuff.
Able to.
Yeah. After we bought this home, it used to have the old. The old water was just like a big cylinder, you know, with rainwater.
Oh.
The old people used to collect rainwater for washing and that. Well, we had to dig that out, got that all out, and then we made an office of that whole space that was about like these rooms here. Changed that all, and then when he retired, he put shelves where I had shelves for all the books and the accounts and all the different things that we had. He changed that, and I put all my flowers that I used to start. He put flowers and lights in there.
Hmm.
And I had a flower garden in there after that.
So you had all these things like your electricity, I suppose, and your plumbing before most of your neighbors had it then?
Well, yes, we were.
You were early.
Well, because he had the idea, you know,
mm-hmm.
And we just liked to go ahead and just like when we remodeled the whole first floor, and I had a 27-foot living room,
mm-hmm.
living dining room. We tore out the partition that was in there and changed it all around.
We talked about that you did go shopping for the groceries. Did you do the shopping for groceries, or did your husband do it?
No, I always did.
You did that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, being the bookkeeper, were you the money manager too, or
that's
at
right.
your house?
That's right. Of course, I was a bookkeeper, and I took care of the checkbook and everything.
I think you were early on that too, because I imagine most of your neighbor women, possibly, they went grocery shopping, they got the money from their husband before they went, maybe.
Well, you see, I had been working in the bank for for near 10 years.
How about clothing? You mentioned before that you did a lot of your own sewing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you buy some of your clothing?
Not until I became, when I joined the Eastern Star, and my husband, of course, became a Mason, and well, then they, when they wanted to put me in as an officer, that's when I began to think about ready-made clothes.
Oh.
Because it was so easy to make things, mm-hmm. because as I helped my mother make, you know, help with things as a dressmaker, she had clients like from Concordia, MS, teachers, professors up there. So I learned young how to sew.
Oh, from your mother. When you did go to buy these dresses when you were an Eastern Star, did you buy them in Morehead?
If I could,
what you purchased?
If I could get my size.
Otherwise you went over to Fargo.
Well, I found Mary Elizabeth. Of course, we had known those girls for many years, uh-huh. from Herbst, and then they started their own store.
Oh.
But then Shotwell's was where I found I could get something my size.
Uh-huh.
When you were in Eastern Star, you had to go pretty much by what they wanted you to wear.
As I remember it, you wore a formal.
That's always a formal.
Always formals.
Mm-hmm. And I was Queen Esther, so I was always in white.
Well.
And then I became chaplain. They wanted Lucy Sheffield.
Uh-huh.
Wanted me to go through the chairs. But we were getting into such a busy season at that time. And with the World War II coming on and all that. And there was so much that we could volunteer for to help, you know. And besides, my husband had quite a good business then and really kept me busy. And of course, the one girl going out of into college and the other one getting ready. So I felt I couldn't go through all the chairs, because once you do, you're married to that until you're through with it.
Uh-huh. That's a big job to have besides all the other things you were doing, isn't it?
Well, that was it. And so after, from Queen Esther, then they asked me if I would be chaplain, and I said I would enjoy that.
Were you one of the first ones to have an, did you have an automatic washing machine and dryer, or were you ahead on that too?
When the wholesale house first got those in, they gave Jay the chance to try those things to see how it worked.
Uh-huh.
It was the same way in 1920 when the first posting machines came out, you know. They had me, of course I was a typist and bookkeeper, but they wanted me to try the machine.
So during your life you've tested out a lot of new things, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yes, it's
starting with the bookkeeping machines, and then
yes,
even all the new plumbing and the
of course,
new appliances.
New appliances, yes. And of course, they came out with a lot of different cooking utensils, and things began to come with those things to make it easier too, you know.
Uh-huh.
But
what about ironing? Did you have a lot of ironing with two girls?
Oh yes, there was a lot of that to do. But once you got materials that didn't need ironing, that became quite the fad too.
That came during the last part of this period, didn't it?
There was one thing that I wished people would feel like trying using. I have a complete set of iron, heavy black iron, that my mother had from the old country. You know, the deep, that you made all your roasts and soups and everything
yes.
in. Then the next one, where you could do a lot of frying in and make your donuts in. And then the flat one that you could make your big pancakes in. And I still have that from my mother, from her mother.
And you wouldn't trade it for the modern?
Well, I don't use it. I couldn't possibly lift any one of them. And so it's just stored, but I mean it's still there. But we all graduated from all those things.
The Depression came in the early 30s. How did that affect you and your homemaking?
Everything. We were paying on our home. We had it about half paid. We lost that all because the savings and loan that had it in the first place went bankrupt. They just closed their doors. We lost all we paid in, and we had to start all over. And so we had to go to a local bank then. That was an out-of-town bank that had it in the first place. And everybody lost their savings.
Then you borrowed money and built another home? No, we moved?
We had to go on with this because we were remodeling that home then.
Oh.
I got this crooked, so it hurts. That's better. But, well, everybody else was in the same fix. And, of course, that's when we decided that it was better that we start our own business. And it was a bad time to start, all right, but we plugged along.
So you had to borrow money to start your business?
No, we made arrangements with the wholesale house. They were very good about it. Because, of course, my father had been with them for so many years, and my father had moved to Fargo then. And then he just retired. And I think our first big break was the night the normal school burned. School part burned. Jay had been up there and talked to, I think it was McLean at the time, president, and they had asked him to check some of the places, and he was checking especially the basements, underneath some of those places, and he warned them. He said, "Oh, this was in the summer sometime, I suppose." But he had warned them that they should look out because, he said, "It's just like tinder under there." He said, "The dust," he said, "any little spark from the burner or a match, cigarette, anything," he said, could start a fire. And he said, "If it caught onto this stuff," he said, "boy, it'd just travel like wildfire." And Jay was asleep, and I was having, one of the youngsters was sick with one of the little, of course, Joy, Audrey brought it home from the kindergarten, and then Joy, I think it was the measles, because then Joy got it, and she was the one I was up and down with. And it was just about 11:30 or something like that. And I went to the bedroom door and I said, "Jay, you better come here and look out the window." And he looked out the window. "It's a normal school," he said. The boy said, "Call." And the fellow, that one of the boys that was working for him then, and he said, "Tell him to meet me up there." And boy, it was, of course, this was in February. Frozen, everything frozen, and the water burst, you know, it was all out on the 7th Avenue. And he had to get up there and shut off water mains everywhere he could, you know. And so that was the beginning of the first big jobs that he got then.
It was nice, it turned out good for somebody, huh?
That's right.
Well, that was interesting to hear about.
But it's a lot different. It was a lot different then from what it is now. With young married couples, even with my own, I said, "I don't like to tell you how to run your business, how to run your house or anything, but I said, don't spend your money before you have it in your hand." We never went and bought anything unless we had the money to pay for it. And we had arrangements with the wholesale house just getting started, and I would, before we'd buy anything that we thought we'd like to get or something, any special, that's why I had such a big garden, because we could grow so much in the garden, you know, except milk and butter and flour. But I used to take the invoices over and pay them. And of course, I knew I don't know if you knew Fred Hill.
No, I didn't.
Well, he was working there at the time. He was a churchman of ours. And of course, there was another fellow there. They'd see me come in and then they'd start singing, "Alice, where art thou going?" And I'd say, "I'm going to see," and I'd mention the other fellow. And I'd pay up so many invoices. And so then they said, "Well, if you can pay them before the 10th, we'll discount for you." So then I made sure I was going to begin to do that.
Did the Depression affect your daughters in any way? Or didn't they know there was a Depression?
Well, they knew. They were new. There were things they'd like to have, but they couldn't have. They knew that. Everybody else was the same way, you know, except, of course, people I wouldn't mention, but people that had money coming easier ways than plumbing and heating at that time. There wasn't a lot of new stuff. It was a lot of repair stuff where you go out 1-2 o'clock at night and not afraid to go out and do stuff. That's how we got started.
And you were living on 4th Avenue then.
Mm-hmm.
That was a through highway, wasn't it? Wasn't
that
4th?
That was 52.
The Highway 52.
Mm-hmm.
Were there houses?
Oh, yes. There were houses way out almost to the turn there. And then they built up that tourist park out there, the end of 4th Avenue where it makes the turn.
Oh, yes.
But
was there much traffic?
Well, there was quite a lot, yes. Big trucks would come in that way.
It was the main highway coming in, wasn't it?
Yeah, they'd come that way instead of 8th Street, you see.
Then were there many houses between you and the college then?
Oh, yeah, that was all...
That was all built up?
Yeah, they used to call that the Silk Stocking Ward.
Oh.
But, of course, it didn't go west, it went east. It didn't go east, it went west toward 4th Street.
Uh-huh.
And there were only a few of them that were not, I don't know just how to say it. Some of them were businesses downtown, like grocery stores and hardware stores, and the jewelry store. Martinson lived out in the Silk Stocking Ward. But many of the others had other kind of businesses down there, soft drink and hard drink businesses downtown.
Oh, yeah.
That lived in that Silk Stocking Ward.
We all did.
Then I started bringing my stuff over and discounting it.
Uh-huh.
And then I bought savings bonds with the discount money.
So that worked fine.
That's how we got started, so we could have a little extra money then.
Well, that was in the 30s. So now in the
40s. That was in the 30s and 40s.
Uh-huh. In the 40s, then the war came along, and that sort of took away the depression, but brought some other problems.
A lot of other problems along with it, yes. That's what brought the shortage of food, because so much food had to be stored, whatever, and sent, helped out, you know. My brother was in World War I and World War II, but my both son-in-laws were in World War II. David, of course, was 5 years younger going into the service than Bob was. Bob is Audrey's husband. He was a pilot.
Oh.
And David was Air Force also. But before David's outfit was ready, they had practically ended the thing.
Did your daughters move with their husbands then, so they were gone?
Well,
gone from town.
Well, you see, Joy and David weren't married yet.
Oh,
but Audrey and Bob, of course, at that time, lived in. I think they lived. They moved from Illinois to I think that's where Philadelphia.
Anyway, that time your family size was reduced a little.
Joy
was still at home during the war then.
Yeah. But Audrey, of course, and Bob were she lived at home while he was gone. She had her own home.
Uh-huh.
While he was gone. But he was a prisoner of war.
Oh, he was.
Yes.
Well, now you were busy working on these committees of the food stamp committee and the.
Mm-hmm. In World War I, I crocheted scarves and caps and mittens and socks.
Uh-huh.
We all did that.
In World War II, you didn't?
No. Well, we cut a lot of shirts.
Oh.
But I never did any of that stuff. No, it was mostly on the food stamp plan.
Uh-huh. Well, were there any other big problems besides the Depression and the war, I guess, we all know about, but did you find throughout your lifetime of homemaking where?
No. It was just a matter of keeping up with the times and
how about just putting up with winter? Was that bad?
No, we never really had any trouble with winter. We used to take the girls, first Audrey, because we used to love skate, and where the junior high is, they had a skating rink where the junior high used to be.
Uh-huh.
And we used to love to go skating over there. And then when Joy was a baby, when Audrey was a baby, Jay built a box on the sled.
Uh-huh.
And we pulled her. Then Audrey would skate with us, and we'd have Joy in the sled.
Uh-huh. So you really enjoyed winter instead of...
Oh, yes, we did.
...disliking it.
Yes.
And you lived in the part of Moorhead where you didn't have any trouble with the floods. You
no.
never were flooded in that area.
No.
Did you have a lot of mud in the spring?
No, because we had the high, we had that
and the highway, and you had sidewalks.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
I lived there as a little girl. My folks, we bought the home for my folks
when they
moved to Fargo.
Uh-huh.
And then we had wooden sidewalks because twice I had a spike in my knee. Once right up here and once right down here. And I have scars from both of them.
From the wooden sidewalk?
Yeah, the fellow that owned the lot next to us, you're all supposed to take care of your own sidewalk, you know. And twice in that vacant lot, running to school, up came the darn board and the spike went right through. But, of course, that by the time we bought the property, they were running, they were pouring sidewalks in,
uh-huh.
Everything.
When you think back over this time, what were some of the happy things, special things that you think of?
There were many things that were special. It, like when Audrey, of course, both girls were very musical. Audrey played the piano.
Your daughters now each have their own homes. How are their homes different from yours?
Well, in the first place, both of them had either one or more boys. I just had two girls.
Uh-huh.
And the mixture, I think, makes quite a difference in a home because it, I think it brings out more of the father, the things he likes and the things he likes to do with the youngsters, you know, with their sons. Whereas Jay idolized the two girls. But there was never anything he could really do with them unless
uh-huh.
it was something that we were all doing, you know.
It does make for more togetherness or include the father
with
more
with
when
a
you
mixed,
have both
with a mixed
boys,
family like that,
boys
yeah.
and girls. How about the appliances and so on? Do you think that your girls have it easier than you have it, than you had it?
Oh, they have a lot more things to do with that save time for them, whereas it took us more time to do, you know. But that's only I think in the like the laundry and the kitchen appliances, things like that, because nowadays clothes are made. That wash easier, you don't have to iron them, and all that, but I think it's, the change doesn't bother me at all, because I always liked to do any of that stuff anyway, and it didn't make any difference.
Do your girls sew, or?
No, Audrey does some, and I guess she makes some of her clothes now. But Joy, of course, only had Claudia, the one girl, and there was no sense in her sewing when I could do it so easy. But of course, I like to make things for all of them. I knit sweaters and scarves and afghans and pillows and for them and for their daughters and their grandchildren. Made Christmas tree skirts and Christmas socks for all of them.
Oh, they're fortunate to have
well,
grandma.
They're very they're a lot of fun, and like I say, I make up all my own designs, even the things that I put on the Christmas tree skirts. They're no two alike, and same with their socks or their pillows I'm working on now. Well, I enjoy all that work, and the same way with I've made macrame. That's have you seen these macrame tables, hanging tables?
Yes.
Well, I've made those for all the girls.
Oh, well, I'm sure they're fortunate to have someone who could do all that handwork. I think one more question, maybe. If you could do your homemaking over again, is there any part you'd change?
No, looking back, there is nothing I would change. I feel sorry for people that can't get out and dig in a garden and make a beautiful garden landscape. That forever I was, everything I did, I landscaped. And I like it that way. I had it down at the lake the same. Of course, I can't do that work anymore. But Doc says, get out there and work in your garden this summer, which I most likely will. But I love growing beautiful flowers. I wrote an article for the old Scene.
Oh.
I wrote for several years there. And on our travels, we'd always go and visit special nurseries. Or if I saw something new, I'd write down about it, you know, and then I'd see what it was like. And perhaps take some seeds or slips or something home. And I was always sending special for something to try, because I love flowers, I love gardening, and that's why I keep fooling with things in here which it's kind of hard to take care of, but still I do it, and mm-hmm. because I love the outdoors and I like flowers.
Well, thank you for contributing to our fund of information on homemaking in Moria.
Well, I hope that I hope that what I have told you means something to the history of Moria.
Well, I'm sure it will, and I think it's nice that they included in this history of Moorhead. There will be information about women and mm-hmm. about their work at home as well as their work in the rest mm-hmm. of the community. Mm-hmm. And you certainly have added to the fund of information from both
well,
of them.
Well, I didn't say anything about the years we worked in the church. Jay and I worked many years in the church. He took care of the furnace and I dusted. And
which was your church?
St. John's Episcopal.
Oh, yes.
And he was quite responsible for the remodeling inside.
Oh, that was a church that was certainly involved in the history of Moorhead, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Important to the history of Moorhead.
Mm-hmm.